This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. 7:35 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Tanjung Han as we take a look at the business headlines now. In the next half an hour, we'll be discussing news on Lazada, Splash, as well as the proposed price hike for cigarettes. But let's start in the US, where the macroeconomic numbers were released late last night, Han. In the fourth quarter, the US economy grew at a faster pace than previously reported, thanks to higher consumer spending.
That's right. So this data came out at 8 p.m. last night, Malaysian time. So the fourth quarter GDP print is 2.1%, and that's on the upside surprise, given that the forecast was for 2%. And this is the third estimate up for that fourth quarter print, and it's an upwards revision from that previous 1.9%.
Okay, so essentially what I'm getting from all the numbers that you're reading off for me is that, okay, the economy is doing well, which is in line with what the Federal Reserve had said about the Fed's views over the economy. So, you know, perhaps we are on track to seeing more rate hikes throughout the year. And is that in line? I mean, is that mostly in line with how most market commentators perceive the U.S. economy?
Yeah, certainly. You know, but you've got a divergence between how the Fed sees it. You know, their projections for the U.S. economy, you know, they say sustainable GDP growth is about 2%. Where else you've got the Trump administration, or the White House expects 3% or better, you know, with some estimates even going up to 4% GDP growth.
Wow. Yeah. How is he going to achieve that?
Well, you know, basically by spending a whole lot of money. Okay. You know? Where is he going to get the money from? Like, we have no idea. No, but we'll get more into Trump policies in just a bit. Tax cuts and also their infrastructure spending and whatnot. But also something else we got to keep in mind when we look at those numbers that I read off earlier. The underlying story here is that the consumer spending in the States is still robust, you know, and that should bode well. I mean, because they are the world's largest economy, so that should bode well for the rest of the world, including Malaysia. You know, hopefully, we will see more of our products being consumed by the U.S. Consumer. Also, you got to keep in mind some of the other highlights from that data that came out last night, our time. They've got higher imports as well. You know, so that's growing. With trade basically seeing it the most since, the growth the most since 2004. You know?
Okay.
So, yeah, you've got higher imports there. U.S. consumers consuming more. Hopefully, you know, Malaysia will be a beneficiary from all of that.
Now, unless, Han, and I don't mean to be a wet blanket here on my last day on the morning run, unless, you know, the U.S. becomes more protectionist as you know, championed by Donald Trump.
Sure. Yeah, no, but real quick, you know, the fact that this is your last day on the morning, last day live on the morning run is a wet blanket. Anyways, real quick, it's not just consumers here, but also when you look at the corporate side of things, right? They seem to have a pretty bullish outlook, at least according to a market sentiment. Now, granted, the next earnings season will come out mid-April, so a couple more weeks from now. But already looking ahead, you've got talk about how, say, the revenue and also earnings from various U.S. From the corporate sector, that is expected to see plenty of growth, even double digit. For example, the S&P 500 earnings expected to rise 10.4%. All right, earnings expected to grow 18%, according to Thomson Reuters. So you've got all these kind of bullish outlook and a positive sentiment moving forward.
So what you're saying is that with the fixation of markets on what Trump is going to do next, you're saying that perhaps earnings and the corporate results will be enough to distract from whatever's not happening on the Trump front.
Yeah.
However, coming back to what you talked about with the $1 trillion infrastructure spending, right?
Mm.
That was quite stunning. I mean, that $1 trillion figure sounds like a lot, but when you look at it over a period of 10 years, which is what they're looking to spend on, is that going to be enough to sustain any kind of good feelings in the market?
Well, essentially, this is one of the pillars when it comes to market sentiment here, because, you know, when you talk about that Trump trade and all this feel-good effect that comes out of, you know, Trump actually occupying the White House, it's about those policies, right? Those pro-business policies, right? So, creating jobs, et cetera. Now, that should fundamentally help prop up the U.S. economic growth on top of what we've already seen, like we discussed earlier, that upward revision of 2.1% for the fourth quarter. But then looking ahead, $1 trillion. But the question is, are there enough details? Is there enough hook for investors to hang their hat on? And the answer really is, at least not yet.
Not yet.
So it's very much wait and see. So between now and when those details actually comes out, what's next? So investors are saying, well, perhaps we can start looking at corporate earnings 2 weeks from now. That seems to be looking good moving forward. Consumer spending has been good in the fourth quarter at least. So we've got that to occupy us in the meantime.
Well, something else I'm looking at that's going to be occupying my attention next week is the visit by Chinese President Xi Jinping to the U.S. So it's going to be the first time he's going to be meeting Donald Trump. I wonder whether they'll go golfing.
And not just that, I wonder what the level of awkwardness will be as well.
The handshake. Let's wait for the handshake.
Yeah, the really long handshake with Shinzo Abe, the apparent denial of that handshake to Angela Merkel. Although, to be fair, he did shake her hand at the press conference.
Justin later. Trudeau went, talk to the hand.
Yeah, it's all in the hands. It's all about
the huge hands. Anyway, back to Xi Jinping.
Yes, this time next week, we'll hopefully be getting commentary out of that highly anticipated meeting. So we just got confirmation from China's foreign ministry yesterday about that meeting, again, between Xi Jinping and Trump. That will happen at his retreat in Florida. So obviously the question now is, what's going to be discussed, right? What's going to be on the agenda? So, essentially trade, that will be, very much up there. Keeping in mind, Trump, did not hold back when it came to criticizing China during his campaigning period, right? Everything from the, supposed devaluation of the yuan to their anti-competitive trade policies, etc.
Also, he said, I think climate change is a concept made up by China.
Yeah, climate change, or even how China is not being hard enough on North Korea. So you've got plenty of shots fired at China. I mean, verbal ones, not missiles. Yeah. Yes. Verbal ones. So whether or not, he will tone down, and I would think that he would, because when you see the kind of comments that he made against, say, Germany, right, during his campaign trail as well. But when he met Angela Merkel, it appeared to be, rather professional.
Yeah,
likewise with Japan, so hopefully he will act more presidential.
Yeah, it's coming back to, the schizophrenic idea of Trump the candidate and Trump the president, right? So he's more of a statesman once, in the White House.
Yeah, but nevertheless, this is going to be monumental because this is the world's two largest economies.
True.
Yeah, coming together. So I'm sure any statement coming out of there will be scrutinized, by basically everyone else.
Well, coming back to this part of the world in with Lazada, Southeast Asian e-commerce player, they have joined hands with Unilever in hopes of grabbing a bigger slice of the online retail market within this region, specifically the fast-moving consumer goods. Apparently, that sector is projected to reach $25 billion by 2020. So this deal with Unilever is somewhat similar with the partnership that Lazada made with Alibaba. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that deal was from 2015. So that time it was for the Chinese market.
Uh-huh,
so this one is going to be the Southeast Asia market, the ASEAN market. I mean, real quick, Unilever, you're talking about, household names like Dove, Lipton, even X for Men. Melissa, you know anything about that?
Anyway, I have to ask though. I mean, I don't know about you, but do people buy a lot of fast-moving consumer products online, through e-commerce?
Well, at least in Unilever's eyes, that pie is certainly growing. Right.
I always thought it was consumer discretionary products, but this is clearly, a huge segment for potential.
Yeah,
right?
I guess, when it comes to, because these are products that we use, so often, these are FMCG, fast-moving consumer goods, I don't think there is a steep learning curve. We know what products we want, we know what products we like, so we just order them online and we don't have to leave the house.
Right.
Maybe even mid-shower, we could order them well.
I'm going to buy tissue now while I'm waiting for my grab to appear.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. So essentially, The question here is, what is in it for Unilever, right, with this deal? So the idea is to better understand, you know, consumer behavior patterns. So, you know, and you can track these kind of behaviors, you know, more efficiently when it's in the digital space, right? You know, so that's the idea, you know, and you can also then target each consumer individually as opposed to relying on foot traffic, you know, through their brick and mortar stores. However, ultimately, though, at least according to this report, the idea is to use that kind of data to then help them drive their operations in the brick and mortar as well. And so it almost seems like, at least when it comes to this particular deal, this is a means to an end.
Right.
So it's a means, you know, trying to track the consumer behavior in the digital space and then see how that translates into the brick and mortar space.
Well, this is really exciting times for the e-commerce space, don't you think? I mean, just last week, was it last week when we heard the announcement for the digital
free
trade zone, Alibaba setting up their e-commerce hub here in Malaysia. So exciting times. In fact, timely to speak to the online marketplace players. In fact, on The Breakfast Grill today, we're going to have an online marketplace player, Mudah.my. I'm sure you've heard of them before, initially launched in 2007. And they started out as a simple platform to kind of buy and sell pre-owned items. But now I think they're really kind of carved out a niche for themselves, especially in the vehicle-related marketplace. So the ads for secondhand cars and whatnot.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of edge, you know, Mudah has when coming up against these kind of giants, right? Lazada, all basically operating in the same space. Now, all granted, their models are different, and we'll find out more about that later. Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see whether their business model can still, you know, gain a kind of traction against these big boys.
CEO Gaurav Bashin will be on The Breakfast Grill in about 15-20 minutes or so. Juliana will be speaking to him then to find out more about this business as well as the future of e-commerce. So make sure you stay tuned for that just after the 8 o'clock news. But after these messages, we'll be back with a look at what's happening with Splash. Apparently, the deadline for the Splash takeover has been extended again. Details after this on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.